Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So, on Saturday afternoon, he was finally able to get it together with his white and green rocket bearing the words Flat Earth in big lettering right on the side of it. Was able to go up 1,875 feet and land with the two parachutes deploying to make sure that he was not killed. He was holed out on his stretcher and he said...
That's not
very high.
Yes.
That's like a big building.
That's a building.
This is General George Washington and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Seriously, 1,000 feet in the air is not even enough time for the parachute to deploy. It's just not that high up. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, inside the line in the District of Columbia. In Friendship Heights, we have David Aldridge. We have Tori Clark back from New Zealand with gifts, one of which she immediately broke. Michael Kornheiser's here. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do news. We have a huge crowd. Applaud yourself.
Yeah.
Many of whom got ties, almost all of whom got pocket schedules from the Milwaukee Brewers.
There you go.
We'll explain all of these things, and as littles are wont to do, and please don't take offense if you're hearing it for the first time, it's a long story about Ted Green and the Los Angeles Times from 45 years ago. Littles is not a it's a term of endearment.
Yes, absolutely.
It is not a term of disparagement. It is a term of endearment. Even though it wasn't at the beginning. Okay, from Michigan. Here's a box of that from Michigan. The woman I'm related to by marriage and I took our spring break to make our first journey to Chatter. We thought you'd like some of our favorite things from Michigan. Beer for Gary, bottle of wine for you and Gene, olive oil and Traverse City cherry items for Michael to use for grilling, and a ridiculous Michigan t-shirt for baby Bootsy. Please shout out to my brother Tom in West Branch, Michigan. Love the show. This is Jerry and Aaron Howard. From Katie Bellaccio, my husband Andy will soon be joining the ranks of the doctor. He's receiving a doctoral degree in aerospace engineering from Georgia Tech. That's impressive.
Maybe he can help that guy who only went 1,000 feet.
Yeah, aerospace engineering from something that ends in tech is good. We have been littles for many years, and nothing would thrill him more than to receive congratulations from you and the gang. Please sign the enclosed card, which we have done. From Tim Wildsmith, sitting right over here in Nashville, Tennessee, here's a big bag of goodies. From Biscuit Love, the for-profit restaurant, now with three locations in the Nashville area, where the woman to whom I'm related by marriage works as creative director. They're making money. We need to keep her here.
Yeah.
I've also thrown in a couple of my CDs, and I brought a copy of Pumping Irony in the hopes that you'll sign it for me. Of course I will. We're in town for a few days. I've scheduled some proper tourist activities in the hopes that my wife won't realize the real reason we're on DC is to see your show.
Yep.
From Tim Brever, coordinator of the Brewers Community Foundation in Milwaukee. Enclosed, you will find a plethora. And he's not kidding.
He's not
kidding. There's a couple of hundred of these. A plethora of 2018 Milwaukee Brewers pocket schedules. Please distribute at your leisure to the many Wisconsinites that frequent Chatter. Please feel free to give me a shout if you or any of the gang will be in the Cream City when the Nats visit this July. Tickets and schedules are on me. Now, amazing enough, I said, is anybody here from Wisconsin? Five different people are here today from Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's Wisconsin.
So they get the schedule. It is. It's special discount for Wisconsin people. From Philip Braddock in San Francisco, with both Passover and Easter around the corner. Whoa, that really snuck up on me, just like Valentine's Day. I figured it's about time to fulfill my destiny as a little and obey the command. Send me a box of that. So enclosed, please find a box of black and white cookies, which have been distributed inside here. I will take one home, and lucky people who buy breakfast and eat it and spend money may get one here.
Bonus cookie.
Box of black and white cookies, but they're not just any old black and white cookies. They are side of the block agnostic black and white cookies that can be enjoyed by you and yours at Seder and Saliza at his Easter brunch. All jokes aside, I sincerely hope you and the gang enjoy these cookies. Your show has been and continues to be part of my daily life. And even though I live in San Francisco, I'm hoping to make a pilgrimage to Chatter at the end of the year. And don't worry about reimbursing me for the cookies. My mom is the co-founder and co-owner of the Black and White Cookie Company in New York City. So let's just say I've got the hookup. Have we opened them?
Not yet.
Okay, you'll let me know later. From Mark in Cape May, New Jersey. I sat down to first compose this letter on the morning of Nor'easter number 4 with the television on in the background. The talking heads on CNN were discussing the Do Not Congratulate memo, which when they brought in someone for expert commentary. As I turned to watch the bespectacled guest, I asked myself, why is CNN asking Jeremy Piven about affairs of state? A second later, they ran the individual's name under him, and lo and behold, it was none other than Chris Edith Saliza. Loyal listener since the ESPN National Midday Show when we met once at your celebrity golf tournament. I was hoping you could possibly have the gang sign an enclosed birthday card, which we did for his wife, Debbie. We have done that, and he enclosed a DVD of Goodfellas as part of the grassroots effort to replace the plundered ties for your continuing chatter giveaway tradition. And that's very nice. And from Tom Reale, R-E-A-L-E, in Anchorage, Alaska. Longtime loyal little from the days when you actually took phone calls. Remember how much fun that was. Anyway, enclosed, please find a pack of Alaska Monopoly tickets. I played the game religiously last year, pasting a million or so of those damn little stickers into the booklet, and all I ever won was more tickets. I opened 85 of these yesterday. I'm done. I mean, there's four winners left in the world, mm-hmm. and then I'm not going to get them. Also, last October, when my friend Christine and I were waiting in a four-hour line to buy this year's release of Deal with the Devil beer from Anchorage Brewing. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
That must be great beer, I guess. I heard a couple of women just ahead of me talking. One introduced herself as Anita, and I immediately thought, could it be? I walked up and asked if she was indeed the Anita from Alaska. After a moment's hesitation, she admitted she was the one. And we exchanged Mr. Tony. How does that happen?
That's great.
We exchanged one-fingered salutes. We exchanged Twitter info. We've kept in touch. Just another example of littles meeting littles buying beer. That's unbelievable.
That is great.
It's Alaska. It's large. It's really, really large.
Hey, so, speaking of the TK salute, the Phantom Daughter drives a beat-up old Volvo wagon with a faded TK sticker in the back. Mm-hmm. I guess she had never heard, because she never listens to the show, she'd never heard the story about the TK salute. And not too long ago, she said to me, you know, every once in a while I'll be driving, someone like driving by or on the street will go, TK, and give me the finger. Why are they doing that? They do not like him, do they?
That's a great story.
I said, they love you.
Are you going to tell your other story later?
Your chatter story.
You can tell your chatter story?
Yeah.
You have to tell your
maybe.
One
no,
thing.
I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Wendell
no.
Foster.
Oh, good names. Right. They came to you.
Wendell Foster, so South Pasadena, California. Here are some more West Coast Monopoly game pieces. Good luck. If the winner isn't here, I know why. A few days ago, I bought a few items at Pavilions here in South Pasadena. Think Refugee Safeway, but with more cottage cheese. The total came to $7.77. When I got home, I put the Monopoly pieces on the counter. Later that day, they were gone. The woman to whom I related by marriage tossed them. No first-class train ride for her. Thanks for all the laughs. So, and P.S., there's nothing better than Leon Harris quoting Animal House and Blazing Saddles. So we have now 3,000 more of these things. Let me get into the show. Two things I wanted to start with, even though we've gone a million minutes already. UConn last night, the UConn women's basketball team, just drilled South Carolina. Rushed. It was over 20 in the first half. It was just, I mean, just killed them and wanted to beat them badly. They beat them earlier this year. Gino Auriemma will go anywhere and play anyone in women's basketball. He doesn't care. He beat them by 25. Dawn Staley took over for him as the Olympic coach. Mm-hmm. She's very qualified. Mm-hmm. She's very good. Beat them by 25. Beat them by 29 last night. Could have been 45.
Yep.
Could have been 45. And people said, is there a revenge factor because they won the national championship? No, because they didn't beat UConn. Mississippi State is the revenge factor
because
they beat UConn. I did some statistics on this yesterday. Since 2008, this is 11 seasons, UConn is 407-15, including 36-0 this year. If you take away the really down year when they were 33-5, the really down year, they're 374-10 in 10 full seasons. He has, this is 19th trip to the Final Four. He already has 11 championships. Mm-hmm. David, the job was open. The men's basketball job at UConn was open. Mm-hmm. Should they have offered it or at least consulted with Gino Auriemma?
Well, you can make a case for that.
Or is the coaching that just so different?
I was going to say it's a step down, but it isn't. UConn, the men's team, has a great tradition. They've won national championships with Calhoun, so it's not a step down.
And Kevin Ollie won one.
And Kevin Ollie won one, yeah. That's right.
With Calhoun's guys, but
yeah. So it's not a step down, but it's a parallel job. And if he's happy where he is, and I think...
Do you think he makes as much money as the top men's coach, Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he makes as much, or he made as much as Calhoun did. I think they fixed that.
Okay. So that would be in the millions.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's also got like 3 Olympic gold medals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to me, I don't think you look at it. I mean, I don't look at it as a step up or anything. I think it's a different job. But I think he's got a pretty good job right now, and now he's doing great at it.
He has said, he said to us on TV, look, at my age, I'm not going to do this. I sometimes think about what I would have been if I wasn't this, but at my age, I'm not going to make that move. I don't want to cross the hall. I like exactly where I am. But I think that his record is so impressive, and that I think that essentially, I think if you can coach, if you can win coaching basketball, you can win some. What do you think, Tori?
I have a question for you sports people, because I watched a little bit of it last night as well, and just I didn't know the stats, obviously, but I knew just how they completely dominate, right? Completely dominate. Is it good for women's basketball?
Yes.
I think.
Dynasties are always good.
I think dynasties are good.
But when it's,
UCLA was good for men's basketball.
But there seldom is any question about the outcome. Seldom.
Well,
right?
They lost last year. They got beat at the buzzer by Mississippi State.
Right. Once out of how many games, right? I just think their overall domination, I just think it takes a level of interest out of the game.
It may, if you're a casual fan.
I don't think there's any interest in anybody else but UConn.
I do think it's like what that great the movie, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie where he's the con man.
Catch me if you can.
Catch me if you can. And his father says, when you play the Yankees, you just look at the pinstripes and you're just mesmerized by them. And I think that's the same thing with UConn, is that they're so good that you just have to watch them. I watch them.
And I don't watch anything. I mean, I will watch a championship game for a few minutes, but if UConn's in it, I will go the distance.
Yeah. Is that true for other, I mean, what are their ratings like when they do play?
I'm sure they have the highest of women's ratings.
I think
ratings.
They're okay. I don't think they're great. I think they're okay. Getting better, though. And the quality of play is certainly gotten better and deeper. But, I mean, there is an issue with the kind of concentration of talent.
He's got the best people want to play for him.
Yeah, if there's 10 All-Americans, he's got 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, and then do his players go on to the pros?
Yeah.
Yes, most of them.
Yeah, and they're all really good. Very well. Yeah. They're all really good.
Okay.
What I wonder about is, because I know men's basketball coaches and men's basketball people, and they say, it's not the same game, you cannot compare it, he would not have the success, it's crazy to even think that they should have offered him the job. I think they should.
Yeah.
I mean, I think coaching is coaching. If you give him better players.
Well, but he wouldn't get 8 out of 10.
No, he would not. No, absolutely not. And I don't know if he could recruit.
He could recruit. It's just what he wouldn't. I think he'd get players. He just wouldn't have as many great players as he has coaching the women's team. The thing I don't know about him is, can he coach? I don't know. I mean, and I don't mean that disparagingly. I just mean his talent level is so much better than everybody else.
But it wasn't when he started.
It wasn't
Pat
when he started.
Summits
he
was
built
better.
Up. Yeah, and that's where I give him all the credit in the world.
Her.
He went right at number one.
He did.
He said, I'm here, I'm going to beat you. And he did.
He did.
So he gets all the credit for that.
Let's do the Katie Ledecky story here. Katie Ledecky, who was a friend of the show, Katie Ledecky made an announcement yesterday, which is probably good for Pat Forte's daughter, Brooke, that Katie was no longer going to swim for Stanford. She was going to turn pro. It says in a story today in the Post that she had known for quite some time. She went to Stanford for 2 years, led them to 2 national championships. She won a billion medals in the essentially the mile race, the longest race for women in the collegiate championships. It's 1,650 yards. That's sort of what, 1,500 meters would be. She won by 28 seconds. It's just so,
it's
just, think about that. She won by 28 seconds. I don't know if I feel bad. She can cash in. She can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think people like that should be encouraged to stay amateurs and should be able to keep all the money until such a time, keep it in trust until such a time that they want to go pro.
It sounds like a basketball argument that many players are making. So I certainly support it for her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad decision, but she may have wanted to swim more for Stanford, and now she can't. And that's understandable. If you declare pro under the current rules, you can, and we wish her all the best. She's the greatest women's swimmer of all time. She's aiming for, where are the next Olympics?
Tokyo.
Yeah. All right, so she's aiming for that, and everybody, including her coach, seems to think this is a good decision now to get. I don't honestly know what the difference is in terms of swimming.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's the same. I think it's just a matter of when can you cash in.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think some people, based on what I read, some people have encouraged her, as they encourage lots of towns like this, go pro early, right? You never know what's going to happen to your knees.
Where is the money? Is the money in bathing suits?
Sponsorships,
yes,
yeah.
You're selling this product.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do swimmers sell but bathing suits? What, is there anything else out there?
Slippers?
Or will we see her sell Oreo cookies?
Well,
you know,
also,
I don't know.
It's the whole fitness thing, isn't it? Right? So
sure.
It could be food products. It could be performance products.
Yeah, or Nike or Under Armour or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they would love
Under Armour, I would think, because she's from Washington.
Right?
Yeah.
Just to have a name.
But I don't even
that.
Know if they have. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They could just put her in the stable of all things considered for her training.
Yeah. Exactly.
But in terms of actual preparation for swimming,
it's the same.
You're in the pool. You do what you do.
A lot of chlorine companies probably want to talk to her.
Do you think so? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if you had a backyard pool and Katie Ledecky cleaned your pool?
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? That'd be awesome. Now, the other part of this, and I thought about this, she obviously comes from comfort. They're fine in terms of finance.
Yeah.
But she shouldn't be penalized for that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, if that opportunity is out there for her, that she can generationally get enough money...
Yeah.
You know, I don't think she should be penalized for that.
I don't think anybody is planning to.
Right. And she's nice.
Yeah.
And we like her.
Oh, very much so.
Right? We like her. We like her brother. We like her parents.
Yeah, the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess she's... Well, I don't think she'll need that summer job as a server here.
No.
It's too bad.
We still have to hang this up. We haven't found a place.
Oh, did she sign... Katie Ledecky signed a swim hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very
nice. Yeah,
holding it for Channel 8.
I think not you wear that during the show.
Let people see it.
Yeah, you should put that on during the show.
During the show.
Well, what is on your head? You have a Tesla hat?
No, it's...
what is that?
It's a friend of mine went to Telluride, and I looked after the dog for a week.
Doesn't that look like a Tesla hat?
I thought it was T for Tory.
This
but
is
no.
a like a pick for like mountain climbing. Because as you know, I'm a big alpine mountain climber.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, David is going to talk about a variety of things in basketball, including what feels like the debut of Markelle Fultz. He's been gone so long. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I am so glad we're doing the first leaf read here. Because the wine tyrant.
Liz, stop listening now.
The wine tyrant. Explain. And we got to start rating these wines.
To start rating. So the recent batch had one or two wines that were not your favorite.
Right. A little too sweet.
Yes, but that's why they want you to rate, so they can give you an even better package the next time.
Right, so we're going to start rating the wines, but you get... This is a real good deal. Now, but explain the wine tyrant's position vis-a-vis Kate.
No, this is going to get me in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about this before. Michael
essentially, I gifted my dad...
Michael was kind enough to give me a gift of First Leaf, which I'm very happy about.
A monthly box of wine. I sent him a box of that.
Send me a box of that.
And Liz wants it.
First Leaf is the only online wine club that uses your reviews to make personalized wine selections match to your taste. The more you tell First Leaf what you like, the better they can customize each box you receive. So I've been bad because I just drank
just
the wine.
Just consumed and not rated.
And I didn't fulfill my end of the bargain. That would actually improve the selection that I get. First Leaf Club makes tasting and rating wine an exciting event. The more wine you taste and rate, the better First Leaf can customize your box based on what you like. The introductory three-pack of wine is just $5 a bottle. Mm. I mean, you got to do that.
Pretty
Come
good.
On now. Customize your First Leaf box by selecting color, wine, regions, and frequency of your wine shipments. First Leaf then creates an introductory three-pack of wine to get you started. You'll get all of that for just $5 each. Normally, these bottles of wine go for $20, if not more. When your bottles arrive, rate the wine to get personalized selections based on your unique taste. We think this is one of the better things we do. To order your three-pack of introductory wine for only $15, go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That's three wines for only $15 on your first order at tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. Experience First Leaf today at tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. And I love the wine tyrant. I do. And I don't want her to get mad at me. So many in my family get mad at me. But on the other hand, this is entertainment, isn't it?
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sounds like the beginning of Last Train to Clarksville.
It does.
This is from Patrick. He's from a local pop rock band called Roundabout. They're about to release their third album called Coming Into Focus. And he sent us this called Last One Standing. David is here.
I am.
There's a lot going on in basketball that I want to talk about. I'll start with Markelle Fultz just because that is really in the news. Mm-hmm. He played last night for Philadelphia for the first time since October.
Correct.
I mean, we thought he'd be medical redshirt for the whole year like everybody else, but he played for the first time. He took 13 shots, mm-hmm. which is a significant amount of shots. He hit five.
Right.
What has been his problem?
He has had a shoulder issue that was hard to find, hard to diagnose, and they finally think they got it. The way it was explained to me was that it was the equivalent of suffering a stroke in his shoulder, which is that all the muscles, all the muscles that operate in that particular part of the shoulder just stopped functioning. And this is something that it is not unheard of. It is an actual physical condition, and he had to kind of like reteach his shoulder muscles how to fire. And over the course of the
last... got to get your glutes to fire,
exactly,
as Tiger would say.
Exactly. So over the course of the last few months,
Joe,
he's
you
been
believe
doing
this?
That?
I'm short with this. Joe, do you believe this? Short.
No, seriously.
So he did it. He had to rebuild his shot. I think he also...
His shot looked terrible 2 months ago.
I think he had a mental issue,
That's what I want. Anxiety.
I'm sure. Why would anyone be surprised that a 19-year-old kid who has been the... generally considered the best at his position, it was the number one pick in the draft, and all of a sudden his shoulder doesn't work, wouldn't have to get through some mental hurdles. So I think he had to do that too. But it's gotten better and better and better, and I think they felt like it was important to him that he get back on the floor. And whether he plays a lot for them or not in the playoffs is really not the point. They have to get him feeling good about himself again.
Many people, myself included, looked at what had happened to him and thought he was destined to be one of the biggest busts of all time. I did not know. That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. All the muscles just stopped.
In that particular part of his shoulder, yeah.
What are Philadelphia teammates or coaches or...
Well, look, I mean, I think they feel like he's a talent, which he is, and that you can't give up on a talent when he's played four games in his career.
Right,
he's
right.
played 76 minutes. You can't say he's a bust. He hadn't played. You know, he's been injured. He hadn't played. So, you know, I think at some point, I don't think it's now. This is the issue. They've gone on. They've moved on. They're having a very good season. They are showing that they have the chance to be a very dangerous playoff team. And you can't ask them, I don't think, to suddenly stop what they're doing so that Markelle can catch up. And so I think that's why I feel like if he plays during the end of the regular season, which he may because they play a lot of bad teams, that's fine. But I would be surprised if he played a lot of minutes in the playoffs.
Did you watch? Does his shot look like a real shot?
He looks like himself again. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm sure that there may be some things that are not technically where he wants them to be yet, but... He put the ball on the floor. He was aggressive. He attacked the basket. He took some shots. He had a crossover shot in the last minute, which was good. That's a good sign. So I think he's getting better. And I think that even if it's not this year, to me, you want to see him on the floor so that he has something to build on.
Tori has her hand up.
May I ask a question?
Of course you may. It's your show.
Demonstrate my complete and utter lack of knowledge of basketball. So in baseball, if a player has a bad patch or loses his confidence, they send him down to the minor leagues for a while, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of get his confidence back up, whatever. Does that exist at all in basketball?
It does, but not for the number one pick in the draft.
That would be too embarrassing.
That'd be too embarrassing.
Yeah, not for the number one pick. Wouldn't
help his confidence.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think
Got
so.
It.
No, especially if he was like beaten up down there. I mean, if he didn't look good down there, it would be far worse than staying.
It's very difficult. It has happened before. Hashim Thabeet went down to what's now called the G League a few years ago.
But he stunk.
He was the number two pick.
The UConn kid.
It's very rare that somebody, you know, a lottery pick would want to go down there.
So you mentioned the playoffs and the injury to Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
His coach is saying he won't play in the first round. He's saying he wants to play in the first round. The larger question to me is he is now beginning to look fragile.
Mm.
There is recurring ankle problems, and this is a knee. What do you make of Curry's situation, and does it change? I believe that if healthy, Golden State is better than Houston, and I believe it's discernible. I believe the gap is discernible.
Mm-hmm.
But they got their four best players are all hurt. What do you make of Curry and them?
Well, he'll, you know, Is he injury prone now? I don't know. I mean, he's, I think, is he 30? He might be 30. I think he might be.
I think he just had his 30th birthday. 30.
Yes, he did. That big thing. Yes, yeah. He has his 30. So you do have to start looking at that, I guess, when players turn 30. But I wouldn't necessarily say that means that he's on the downhill side or anything like that. I just think that, you know, I mean, this was a freak injury where JaVale McGee fell into his knee. I mean, it's not like, you know, he did something.
You got to keep the McGees and the Pachulias away from actual people.
From actual players.
Yeah, they're knocking into people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if they want to keep him out of the first round. As long as the other three guys are back, and they should be, all should be back. I mean, Draymond Green's got the flu. He'll be back soon. I think Durant's back Thursday, and Klay Thompson's been shooting the whole time he's been out, so I think he'll be back by the playoffs, certainly. So as long as those three guys are back, I think they'll win the first round, and I think you can let Curry get an extra 10 days worth of rest and rehab and so that he's ready to be Steph Curry going down the stretch.
Wilbon always dances around whether or not Houston will beat them and wants you to believe that he believes Houston will beat them, although all he ever says is they can beat
mm-hmm.
them. I believe both teams healthy, Golden State wins that.
Yeah.
What do you believe?
I think both teams healthy, Golden State wins. I think the margin for error is very small, though.
Yeah.
I think Houston's legit. I think Houston is a team that could very easily beat them if Golden State does not play at its absolute best. Houston's really good. They're really good.
Nobody else is really in play.
Well, no, not to me, unless you tell me Kawhi Leonard's going to be back and be 100% and be himself again, which it doesn't look like he's going to be. You know, if that were the case, I always give San Antonio a chance.
That is the oddest thing with Kawhi Leonard. Because
strange.
Now you're having a circumstance in which it seems to me that players doubt his sincerity and doubt his commitment, and that is the recipe for leaving a team.
It is the oddest thing. And I've said this for years, Tony, that, you know, The Spurs have all the same issues that every professional team has. Players want more money. They want more shots. They want more minutes. It's just that you never hear about
it. No, no.
Because
they're a professional organization.
They keep everything in-house. They never let stuff like that get out until this year. And this is the first year where they've had stuff like this get out, which is stunning to me that it's happened so fast. And not to some just a guy player. I mean, this is the guy was the finals MVP. He's your superstar. He's your key rebuilding piece. It's so surprising to me that this has happened.
So Wilbon also yelled at me for the last month and a half about how Cleveland has no chance and Cleveland, and they're done and they're blah, 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 blah. I now see a path for Cleveland.
Of course.
Kyrie Irving got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James is, at the moment, the best player ever. I mean, and he's playing
good.
Every game. He used to take off 10 days to go sit in the sun in Miami.
Right.
He's playing every game. He obviously has a different trainer than the rest. This is a Tom Brady trainer situation.
Yeah, sort of.
Right?
Well, they know who he is. I mean, it's not a secret.
And Kevin Love's back and great.
That's the key.
And they beat Toronto head to head.
They did.
So to me, their path is clear.
I would say this. With Kevin Love back, he's been back four games. They've averaged 125 points in those four games. So they are cooking offensively. So if the way to get to the finals is we have to outscore everybody, well, they have the talent to do that. I don't think, any fear of Toronto whatsoever, even though Toronto's having a great season and will have home court advantage over them. I don't think LeBron James was at all fazed by going up there and winning a game, even though Toronto's the best team in the league at home this year. So, yeah, I mean, they have a path. There's no question they have a path. If they keep everybody healthy and everybody comes back, they have enough offensive talent to score. Now, they are a not good defensive team at all.
They're
a terrible defensive team. So
they got to beat you with a 125.
They have to outscore you. They can, but if they – and this happens in the playoffs when you have a team that can – focus in on you for seven games, and you have a great defensive coach like Dwayne Casey, you can figure out ways to take things away. So if they get down, if it's 107 instead of 120, they may not win those games. They may not win that series. But if it's 125, 123, they can win that series.
Have you done any work on draft picks? It's like, are you hearing?
A little bit. Some.
What do you hear? Like, what are the names you hear at the top?
Well, you know, I think Ayton certainly is going to be, I would think, be the number one pick. I mean, he's just so, he's such a physical specimen, 7'1", and just put together. You don't have to put him in a weight room. He's ready to go right now. You just don't, and he's got this, you know, for a guy his size, like Anthony Davis, he's just got incredible quickness, and you have to take that guy. Now, Luka Doncic is a guard who's playing overseas this year, who's got a lot of skill, and whether he's a two guard or a point guard doesn't even really matter. He's very talented, so he'll be on that short list as well. And then Marvin Bagley and people like that. So those are the top guys.
Is Trae Young?
He's in there somewhere. Not at the top, but he's in the lottery.
Like 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anybody that we've never heard of where you would say that pros really like this guy?
I mean, you've heard of Colin Sexton, right?
Yes, the Alabama kid.
From Alabama. He's probably going to be a very high lottery pick. So, No, there's no surprises anymore, Tone. I mean, you know, all the guys that are in college or international, people know about them, known about them for years. So all the names are people that you would have heard of.
All right, I will get you out of here on this. This is my Russell Westbrook question.
Okay.
I think Russell Westbrook is a great, great player.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of an undeniable player. He also pushes people. When he pushes people and you call him for a foul, it's like, what? What? He seems to have a sense of entitlement on the court that is baffling to me. Would I love to have him as a teammate? I think I would. Mm-hmm. I think I would. Would I hate playing against him? Yes, I would hate playing against him. But do you ever get the sense that he's just sort of apart from everyone else and thinks he has a set of rules that apply only to him?
I think, like every great player, he's never committed a foul in the history of his life.
Even when you see him run up behind someone and push him.
Tim Duncan's never committed a foul. Every time he was called for a foul, why? What'd I do? You know, all the great players think that they are foul-proof and never do anything wrong on the court and should always. And LeBron thinks he should be able to take 17 steps to the basket.
100 steps.
They all think that. So that doesn't
LeBron
make any
thinks
difference.
It's rugby.
Yeah. They all believe that they are foolproof and should never be called for anything.
Does the fact that Westbrook's team with the addition of two very, very good players, mm-hmm. is essentially the same record as they had last year does that reflect negatively on Westbrook in anybody's mind?
Not to me. I mean, I don't think anybody feels that way. I mean, Carmelo he's not Carmelo. At least he isn't this year. I mean, he doesn't look anything like Carmelo Anthony. Now, maybe that's because he's the third option and that's not what he's used to, but he has not been good at all this year to me. And so I'm not sure that really even counts as, you know, a great player. Paul George has been great, but they miss Robertson, their great guard, who's a great defensive player, and they were rolling when they were healthy, and then he got hurt, and they really have been. They haven't fallen off, but they have.
They're just like 500-ish. Yeah, they're just there. All right, that was good. That caught us up on the NBA.
I always learn a lot when David talks.
Yeah, I mean, I could have this conversation with Mike, but it would be fruitless. It actually would be. It would be fun, but it would be fruitless. All right, so we will take a break. We'll come back. Nigel will do news.
That's right.
When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Michael's Me Undies read.
Yeah, special read.
Now, being the underpant expert that I am, I've already underpant figured
singular?
Out.
Singular?
Yes, I've already figured out the winning business model. Phase one, collect underpants. Phase two, phase three, profit. And that's why I fully endorse MeUndies. You've heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know that I'm a big believer in their product. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month they have new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. This is a true story. When that bag arrives on your front porch, you want to get it out of public sight as quickly as possible. And the current offerings, they have a white and black, what I would call a referee-striped underpant, and a sort of multicolored basketball print, which I'll be bringing in for our tournament challenge winners.
Good.
To model for us, perhaps?
We'll see. So MeUndies uses Lensing Micro Modal in their underwear. They went away from Modal for about a year, and now they're not just back, they're back with full gusto.
Good.
Lensing Micromodal. It's a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced.
Are they beechwood aged like Budweiser used to be?
How does a tree end up turning into fabric?
I don't know.
The results have been downright dreamy. MeUndies adventurous prints and designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love their undies or your money back. They also have these great no-show socks, which I will bring in for you to try, Dad. These are great for this time of year because you can wear them with loafers, and you know you get that look where the sockless look, but you still have the protection of...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Aren't those called PEDS?
I think there is
in the 60s, yes,
PEDS.
They were called PEDS.
They call them no-show now.
Because when you would go to try on shoes, yeah, there'd be a big bag of them laying around.
Swear to God. This 1968 was the last time they called them that.
Yeah, this is a thicker sock.
Well,
it has
I'm pretty old.
It has something in the heel that keeps it on your foot.
Okay.
So MeUndies has a great offer for Tony's listeners, for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure you'll love their underwear, they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off
which is perfect
pair
for this show.
The most comfortable undies you'll ever put on. To get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
Good job, Mike.
Nicely done.
Oof, that was good.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Somebody in the crowd recognizes this because Tim Wildsmith of Nashville is in the crowd and he writes, I submit this song called Long Way Home in honor of the fact that I am indeed a long way from home because I'm here at Chatter. Great to be here, he writes. I can't wait to check out the men's bathroom. Which is redone and lovely. Please tell my fellow littles they can listen to this song and many more on Spotify, iTunes, and all the other usual places. It's a lovely tune. And you can listen at the end of this podcast to this song in its entirety, as you can with all the songs we play. If you want to submit music like Tim has just done and get it played in its entirety, I really ought to shut up because this is a lot better than... This is really
good.
That's a pretty good song.
Michael, how do they do it?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com. And please make sure if you want to send your music into the show that you have the rights to do
so.
Oh,
yes, thank you, Michael, because we get a lot of people like, hey, these guys are great, you should play them. But we actually need to be in the band to email us and give us your permission.
Or have permission from the band.
Yeah, but the band needs to, you can't just say...
Yes, they have to sign off.
Yeah, because you could say, hey, Paul McCartney said this is great, you should do this.
Right.
We can't really do
that. Are we selling anything in particular?
Yeah, so we still have the Hoff Wofco, that's H-O-F-W-O-F, available for Johnny O. And
Johnny O stuff, it's going to get warm at some point.
At some point, eventually.
In preparation of our spring break trip to the Lowcountry and to a little place I like to call Augusta, I'm very excited to try out the new Hyder striped Prepformance polo shirt. So take a look at that online.
Are you going to wear that to Augusta? Michael and I are going to go to Augusta for one day.
Yeah.
You know. I'm very excited about that.
Are you going to bring us back stuff?
Why?
I'm already planning my outfits. It's hard to admit that.
It's okay. You can do that.
Michael's got a very nice Johnny O sort of a transitional sweater on today.
Yes. We're going to be like at 70 degrees in Washington for a day or so in the middle of the week, and then it goes back down.
But not this morning.
No. Listen, advance on Pinehurst, where I'm going to be next week, it's like one day the high's 48. I mean, that's central to southern North Carolina.
Yeah, right. High 70s where I am.
48. And we're going out early. That means the high is 36.
It'll be
six.
Exactly.
Layers.
Anyway, do you have some... Some
news? Yes, yeah. I do. And speaking of golf, we will start with that. Tiger Woods has announced that he will play this summer at the still sponsorless tournament, the Potomac, that benefits his charitable foundation.
It used to be AT&T, and then it was Rocket Launch... Quicken Loan?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Now it's simply called the National. Chico's Bail Bonds, are they possibly a sponsor
for them?
I
think this show stinks sponsorship would be spectacular.
I think that would be awesome.
By the way, it's at Avenel this year.
Yeah, June 28th
to July
1st. It's
not a congressional. Do we know the reason for that? Are they in a rota?
They are in a rotation. I think the membership was a little tired of giving up their course right around the July 4th weekend, which is big for courses in this area. And there's probably some feeling that putting your course out there for a yearly tournament has a little bit of a fatigue factor, and it makes it harder to get the tournaments that you do want, U.S. Opens, PGA Championships going forward.
Avenel is literally across the street right. from King Gresham.
And they had a beautiful redesign, and it's a really tough, good course.
It is hard. The back is really, really hard. The last time Tiger played in this was 2015, and if I'm not mistaken, he didn't make the cut.
Will he show up for the trophy
if he doesn't make the cut? I hope. We should we try to? How much Rash would it cost us to sponsor? That would be a lot of money.
Maybe we could do it in trade. You know,
there you go. We
give
got
away
stuff.
Some food.
No, yeah, you got plenty of stuff.
We have ties. We got lots of ties.
We have ties now.
Could we take the show on the road and do it from their pool deck?
Yes, we could do that. I don't know that they have a pool deck at Avenel. We could do it from Congressional Street, where it's only 95 degrees. Okay.
To college basketball, I think a lot of people, myself included, thought Ryan Odom from UMBC would be headed off to coach a different school and cash in on beating the number one seeded UVA in the first round of the tournament this year. But he has agreed to stay at UMBC at least for the foreseeable future.
What does that mean, the foreseeable future? That could be till Friday.
Could be till Friday.
Right?
I would assume
Do you see what he was making?
It was like $230,000 a year.
Now, far be it from me to insult a yearly salary of $230,000, because that puts you, I'm sure, in the upper 5 to 10% of the country. But for D1 basketball coaches, right, that's about as low as it gets in D1.
Yeah.
He just beat the overall number one seed. I've got a feel that the new deal, which started yesterday, is at least 300 and maybe 350. But UMBC is not.
They don't have them.
No, they don't. They're not generating the, you know, you have to, all things have to be considered. So I suspect that his new deal says, Ryan, we'd love to have you for as long as you want to stay, but if you want to leave, we understand. Sure. And we're going to give you, as a good faith gesture, we're going to give you more money right now.
We've talked about this, at least I've ranted about this before. Mm-hmm. These guys, and it's always these guys, have these conversations before the end of the season. Or here these kids are going into this incredible weekend,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
they've got to be thinking to themselves, what's our coach going to do? That is not what they need in their brains
you're
at
right,
this time. They
yes.
can wait a couple of freaking weeks before they start deciding these things.
Well,
I think that's outrageous.
But people were going to come after this guy.
Absolutely, and everyone knows that. And so it's very easy to say, we're not talking about that now. It's really easy to do.
So in a related story, Tubby Smith, he's going to High Point where he was a student athlete 40, 50 years ago.
Right.
And he's going in with not only a national championship in his pocket from Kentucky, but a $7 million buyout from Memphis.
Right.
So whatever High Point's paying him, Tubby's good. Tubby's good.
Right.
So, you know.
To the National Football League.
I don't think I'm mistaken. He's from originally from the Eastern Shore, isn't he?
I think that's right.
Yeah, he's local for us. Wow. I think he's from the Eastern Shore.
Is that St. Mary's County? Is that where he's from?
I thought like so. Yeah. I thought so, but I'm not certain. Very nice fella.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
To the National Football League, looks like the Los Angeles Rams are going to add five-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh on a one-year deal worth $14 million. This is after the Jets, who are reportedly going to offer more money, said, you know what, we've had second thoughts about this and we don't want to commit that much money to one player.
Well, he didn't even go to their facility to talk to them.
No.
He was just using their offer
for leverage.
Okay, but let's look at what they've done in the last couple of weeks. They got two Pro Bowl safeties. They got Aqib Talib and they got Marcus Spears. Mm-hmm. Then they get a Pro Bowl pass rusher in Ndamukong Suh. And what all three have in common is they are problematic.
Yes.
They've been suspended by their teams over some period of time.
Right.
Los Angeles Rams are also said to be, by the New York Daily News, in hot pursuit of Odell Beckham Jr., who is a touchdown-making machine.
Right.
In his first three healthy years, he produced 35 touchdowns and also has been suspended by his team. So, David, you've covered football in your life.
A while ago, but yes.
You're adding talent and trouble potentially.
Well, yeah.
You have a very young coach, Sean McVay, already considered to be a genius. You've got, on the defensive side, you've got a very old coach,
Wade Phillips,
who knows what he's doing. It looks like you're going for it.
Going all in.
Right now, all chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
Smart, not smart. What do you think?
Well, look, I think they played so well last year. For most of the season, I think you have to try, right? If you're them and you're in L.A. and it's an entertainment deal and you've got to sell tickets, you got to try. So they're trying, and I give them, you know, give them credit for trying. Now, will it work? I don't know. But certainly you look at Aaron Donald and Sue in the middle of that defensive line, and you're thinking,
whoa.
Yeah,
that's I would point out that there's a team locally that that used to love to play big in the free agency
game. No question.
It never worked out.
That's right.
And I cannot stress this enough that all four of these individuals have baggage.
Correct.
Well, and here's what you don't want. You don't want them lockering near each other.
No.
Right.
You don't want that side of the room those guys.
And with Beckham, I guess this surfaced with Beckham because there's a video that came out of him in France. What appeared to be some suspicious activity going on in the video.
The New York Giants have been traditionally, maybe not so much this past year, but traditionally, they've been good to their players.
Yeah.
And when you get an owner saying, as John Mara said yesterday, I'm tired of answering questions about this guy and the latest incident.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That tells you.
And they're starting over. So, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Somebody who would like to start over is Albert Bell. Ooh. I don't know if people saw this. He was arrested. Let me just explain this. So he was arrested in Arizona outside Phoenix Rising Stadium. This is all according to the Arizona Republic. Because I guess a man was walking through the parking lot with his 15-year-old daughter and claimed they saw him urinating beside the driver's side of his car. The man yelled at Bell, who allegedly responded by shaking his genitals at the father and daughter. When police arrived, Bell denied urinating in public, but officers saw two wet spots next to his car in the parking lot. They also said Bell had bloodshot eyes and his breath smelled like alcohol. He admitted to the verbal altercation and told police, yes, in fact, he had driven his car. He was booked on suspicion of two counts of indecent exposure, driving under the influence of DUI, and what's called an extreme DUI with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher.
Did you see the photos of Albert Bell?
Yeah, they weren't good.
Okay, I have an important
recent
follow-up
years
question,
have
though.
Not been kind, Albert.
I'm sorry. Follow-up question, and never to make light of driving under the influence. Bad, 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 bad. But what I couldn't figure out reading it, was he urinating on his car or somebody else's car? Because I think that's an important distinction.
I think it is an important distinction. It does not specify. I'm going to say it was his car.
Okay, well, there
you go. It was like, oh, right. Before we get in, let's just take one last little break here.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, not good days for Albert Bell.
Tori, can you just, you're back from New Zealand.
I'm back from New Zealand, which is the greatest place in the world.
Please let us
greatest place in the world. It is. I've never been. I've been a lot of places, never been. It's the most beautiful country I've ever been. You can't find a part of New Zealand that isn't beautiful. Mm-hmm. People are incredible. Just friendly, nice, happy, you know, all these things.
Sheep. Really, many, many sheep.
I was a little disappointed in the sheep numbers because you always hear more sheep than people.
Yes.
You know, we'd see 5 sheep here, 20 sheep there. I wanted to see thousands of sheep, right? Tons of cattle. Lots and lots and lots of
cattle. This was the great disappointment when we played the Irish course Wisconsin in Kohler. They said the sheep would be out, and we never saw it. Right, Michael?
They were penned in.
We didn't,
I think they've got better contracts now.
Were on their way to New Zealand.
Yeah, well, not enough.
So what did you like the most?
We loved every bit of it. We have one small little bone to pick with the people of New Zealand in their definitions of words. So we went whitewater rafting, and we went hiking, and we went fishing, and we went jet boating, and all these things that you do, right? Brian almost went bungee jumping, but to his great fortune, they were sold out that afternoon, so he didn't have to bungee jump. But we were going to go mountain biking. And we're staying at this place in the North Island, beautiful. And the description
two
of
islands,
the various...
Right? Two islands, New Zealand's two islands.
The description of the various rides, I looked at them and I said, okay, let's do this one. They said it was a couple-hour ride on the side of this mountain. Then you get picked up by a boat. And moderate was a word they used. The occasional hill was a phrase they used. Great. 5.5 freaking hours later.
Ooh.
There was nothing but up. And about halfway through this thing, I'm screaming, I'm swearing. I'm like, how can we constantly be going up? Because we have to get to the beach eventually. But it kept going up and up and up. And our guide was this guy named Eric. He was maybe 68 years old, had the body of an 18-year-old lacrosse player, hated him by the end of it. He had to keep stopping to wait for us to catch up.
Yeah.
And the first 5 times he would stop and we would catch up, he was like, oh, you know, it's character building. And we'd laugh and go, yeah, no, it's fine. And by the second half of the trip, every time he stopped and I'd pull up and he'd start talking, Eric, shut up. I just want to keep going. Shut up, Eric. Brian's legs are covered with scars. And We went back to this lodge. I said, what moderate? And they said, well, haven't you ever mountain biked before? And we said, yes, but not this. It was unbelievable. It's a very fit nation. I guess that's what I should say. They're very fit.
Yeah.
They're very athletic, but it is spectacular. Everyone should put it on their list.
It's a long way. It's too long for me.
Yeah, it's a little bit of
I thought about you on the flight over, because you fly to San Francisco and then you fly another 14 hours. That would be a long time to be on a plane.
Yeah. But
at least you have new goals for training sessions on your Peloton.
Yes.
There you go.
I swear to God, my legs actually held up pretty well thanks to the Peloton. Mm-hmm. By the last 3 hours, my arms were so tired. Mm-hmm. Because you're just going straight up and down in these hairpin turns. And by the end of it, I said, okay, I am no longer mountain bike riding. I am mountain bike pushing. Because I couldn't control my arms anymore.
So the food was good and the
food
people were
really,
nice?
Really, really good. Everything. I said to Michael, down to, you know, it's like there'd be a food truck doing nothing but lamb kebabs. But it's the best lamb kebabs you've ever had.
And you brought us back what?
I brought you back. Hold on. Well, a really nice baseball cap from Hookah Lodge, where everyone should stay if they have a chance.
Right.
A little badge you could sew on from Queenstown, is where you do a lot of your extreme activities. A hatch a rugby player.
Which already hatched.
Yes. No, that was the shell that broke. It wasn't the rugby player. And a hatching kiwi.
When you say hatching, do we have to put them in water?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, water.
We'll
36 hours, and after 72, wow, 72
So we'll
hours.
Do that when we come back from break.
Okay.
We will have an entire episode devoted to hatching a kiwi.
Hatching a kiwi.
Yeah. Hatching a kiwi. Good job. Very good.
That's what the kids are calling it now.
Take a break, and we will come back with Old Guy Radio. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Mary Madeline, who's a good friend of Tori Clark's, once told me that every young girl in the 1960s across America held up a hairbrush, and when you got to Stop in the Name of Love, held their hand out and sang into the hairbrush. Is that true? Can you verify
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely true.
That was
I might not have done that in the 60s, but soon after.
70s, something like that.
Yeah.
We are playing this because...
On this date in 1965, it hit number one. Stayed there for a couple of months, I think, actually. Or a couple of weeks at least. You wonder where the gestures came from? It was backstage.
I'm sure they had choreography.
It was backstage in London before the Supremes' first televised performance of this song. Paul Williams and Melvin Franklin of the Temptations said, hey, this is what you guys should do when you get out there. By the way, that was for Ready, Steady, Go, hosted by Dusty Springfield. And that was the first time. They're like, oh, yeah, let's give this a shot. And they went out and said, oh, yeah, that worked great.
So there is over the years, a sort of a growing backlash that the Supremes weren't that good.
No,
they were that good.
Yeah, they were.
They were that good. Mm-hmm. And, oh, Diana Ross, she's overrated. No, they were that good, and she's not overrated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's we should establish that. I don't usually...
Oh, by the way, just one question, because it lost the Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Rock and Roll
to what?
Vocal Performance to Flowers on the Wall by the Statler Brothers.
Terrible song.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a lesson.
Nice harmony, four-part harmony, but
right,
stop.
But forgettable song, right?
Well, no, not forgettable, but not as good as... Look, there are movies that don't win the Oscar, and you just go, what? You know, what?
Right.
What happened here? So those, you know, that's a great song. I wanted to mention this. A woman whose name is Linda Brown Thompson died the other day. And and you'd say, well, who is that? Linda Brown, before she's married, is Linda Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She dies there's some dispute over her age. She's either 75 or 76.
Mm-hmm.
But she dies. Who is she? She is the Brown in Brown versus Board of Education.
Actually, she's not.
Her dad
her
is.
Her father is, yes.
But she is the girl
for whom
the lawsuit was filed.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave us, that was in Topeka, Kansas, I believe.
Correct.
And that gave us the concept that separate but equal does not work.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to the desegregation and integration, ultimately, not in every state right away, as we know, of the entire public school system in America. And I thought, and I said this before the show, that along with Roe v. Wade, these were, I think, the two most important cultural Supreme Court decisions. Could we think of any more that are like on?
Since you said that earlier, I've been trying to think, and I don't think so.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure alert listeners will.
Yeah, Dred Scott wasn't such a great decision, but it was important because it established.
Well, that was the 1800s.
Correct. So
right.
Brown versus Board of Education kind of
yeah.
ended that. But yeah, certainly, I think in the last 75 years,
Those are the two most consequential decisions.
And she lived her life in, continued to live her life in, in Kansas.
The things in the obit where she was talking, she has talked in the past about how she had, you know, she had lots of white friends and she just wanted to go to the school because it was close and that's where her buddies were. And they all thought it was funny when it happened. They're coming and taking pictures of her at the school. She sounded delightful.
But I never would have. You know, I never would have known who that was. But it's an obituary that everybody should read. It's a very important, obviously, it's an extremely important case.
And just to clarify, Hot Bench did not make a ruling on this, did they?
No. Although Hot Bench, I think, would have
Well, they would have come to a decision much quicker,
much quicker, because they got to do three cases in a half hour. They've got to do that. I watch Hot Bench a lot. So I wanted to talk... Yesterday I talked about Stormy Daniels, and we're going to go back into it because now we have newer people who were not here yesterday.
Yes.
Number one, 22 million people watch that. That's high sports numbers.
Right.
22 million people. The only that's higher than the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton.
Highest in 10 years.
Yeah, it's Michelle and Barack Obama with the, got higher numbers. That's the only time.
24 million, I think.
Yeah, this is the high. I know I watched. It was appointment for me. Not only did I watched again last night. I mean, I watched Anderson Cooper again last night because I wanted to go over it. Did you?
I didn't watch it when it aired, but I've watched lots of parts and pieces of it. She's very persuasive.
Yes. It's hard. I could be wrong on this. Let me just say that it's in discussing anything about the current president, it's important to say that if you are on television, you could end up in the cabinet. It is very possible that Donald Trump could see David in the playoffs and say, that Aldridge guy, I like him. David, would you like to be the Secretary of Commerce? It's possible because TV is very large in his life. So you know that he's watched this. It's not imaginable, right, that he hasn't watched this.
Correct.
I'd like to go back over a couple of things here. And that is, at that time, she is 26 years old. He is 60 years old. And I believe her. I do. I totally believe that this happened. I can't imagine that people don't believe that it happened. But there's a couple of things that happen, which now seeing it for a second time, give me pause. Okay. One is the notion that where she said, yeah, I wasn't really expecting this to end up the way it did, but I figured I got myself into it. And so therefore, you know, it's okay. And it's not me too. And all of that. If I understood this interview correctly, at the beginning of she gets invited, she is, there are tender years in here, so I will use the better term, the adult film star. And so that what she does for a living is that. She gets invited to, and it's not like you don't know who Donald Trump is. You know, 12 years ago. You know who Donald Trump is. You can't imagine this, but you know who he is. She gets invited to his hotel room for dinner. To his hotel room for dinner. And upon getting there, apparently really early on in this relationship, for lack of a better word, he's telling her, he's showing her pictures of himself on the cover of a magazine, and she says, I ought to spank you with that. And immediately, that act goes on. They go, oh, well, that's pretty early in dinner, isn't it? That's pretty early.
We haven't gotten the soup yet.
Then you've got to think. So, like, later on, do both people not know where this is going?
I just want to point out that in 2018, March of 2018, we are talking about someone spanking someone who becomes the president of the United States.
Correct.
With a magazine. But I heard that, and I think I may have heard that story before she actually did the interview, but we got it from her own words. You give the industry in which she was performing, right?
Yeah.
That's probably the tamest thing she could think of.
Yes.
Right.
Right? Yes.
Right.
But I mean,
a little spanking with a magazine.
Sort of the notion of, I really didn't know where this was going. I thought we would know. I think, you know, he would know and she would know.
I thought she was more like, really? Is that, I mean, like, not like, not like she wasn't expecting it, but it was just sort of
right,
like...
she didn't really...
She didn't want to do it.
No, I don't think she found him particularly attractive, although yeah. I think she probably felt to herself, this could be to my benefit financially,
well, sure,
certainly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I thought it was interesting that she claimed she commented, you know, does this work for you? All he did was talk about himself.
Right.
She said in terms of male-female relations, it's worked for you, and clearly it has worked for him.
Yeah, it's worked for him in all things. She took the money.
Yeah.
The money was offered. She took the money. Mm-hmm. I don't know that invalidates anything else she said, but it is fair to point out that she took the money. What is the end game? What does she want?
That's an excellent question.
She wants, you know, more work.
That's what I think.
You know, more work.
And she's now in the production end.
Yeah, she does. She produces and writes as well as performs,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
So.
She could get a reality show.
Yeah, why not?
I think that's possible. What do you think of her lawyer?
I think he's spectacular. GW grad, by the way.
I know.
Shout out GW
Avenatti.
Law School.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this last night, and often these people who are media hounds aren't very good at it.
Yeah.
Like, God, you're on this is the 300th time you're on. You still suck at this, right? He is good, and he is articulate, and he is confident, and he's not backing down. If I were in trouble, I'd want someone like that as my lawyer.
Mm. What does he want? He wants fame.
If you believe what you've read about him, and Jonathan Turley from GW said this is what this guy was like when he was a law student, right?
Right.
He was aggressive.
Right.
He took chances.
Yeah.
He likes to do this, and he's gone after very, very high risk cases in the past.
But what is the lawsuit? What is the lawsuit? What do you?
I think there's still some things to be spun
like,
out here.
Do you think it matters that Donald Trump didn't sign the paper?
I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer.
She took. This is the part. She took the money.
Well,
she must have thought it was a valid agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Or else why do you take the money?
Right.
Like nobody said at that time, whoa, there's not another signature here. Yeah.
I do
that.
Have, what is the value of NDAs if people then violate them? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard and I've read and I do watch a lot of Law and Order on TV, so I know more than I like to brag about. But I do know that if you sign an NDA, but then there are some legal criminal issues, you don't have to be held to it.
Right. Right?
If the law comes to you and says, yeah, you signed that NDA, but you know somebody's been murdered, so you have to talk to us.
Right.
So then you're okay and you can do that.
You're released
but
from it.
I kind of think the point of an NDA is you don't talk.
I guess I take issue with the notion that, which is what the lawyer says all the time, how terribly Stormy Daniels has been bullied.
Yeah,
I mean, I
think Stormy's doing fine.
Yeah.
I
think she's held serve.
Yeah.
She can handle herself.
I don't think
and
she's
she has, fine. Hasn't she said that this is not me too?
No, she's
no,
absolutely
she's
said
made
that.
Made a very but I, strong yeah.
But for me, the critical question is this, and this goes to Avenatti. He takes a picture of something that looks like a DVD.
Yeah.
And he implies that there is physical proof
evidence.
That you can see.
Yeah.
I don't believe that at the moment.
Right.
Now, it's 50-50 I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that. Do you believe that?
I don't know. And I think it's a little bit like somebody else we know who not too long ago said, oh, you know, there might be tapes out there, and there weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when President Trump said that about something or other? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And if it was as her whole relationship with him started, it was a somewhat casual thing.
Mm-hmm.
How would she have been prepared?
And it was a one shot.
Right. How would she have been prepared for
something like
that?
Does she carry a video machine wherever she... I don't think she does.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't think...
Who knows?
Do you think it matters?
No. No, I really don't.
But see, that's it. Step back from all of this. None of this matters.
Right.
None of this has a single bit of impact on him whatsoever.
Isn't it... Don't you find it unbelievable? You can't find five people who don't believe this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you
like everybody says that. Of course, this is what happened.
Can you find one person who cares?
Right. No, it's not consequential.
No, not really.
I think it's pretty safe to say most people have made up their minds about Donald Trump one way or the other, and this isn't going to change it.
Do you think Gary Hart says, I was just on a boat called Monkey Business, ruined my career?
Have we changed, or is it just him?
No, we've changed.
We've changed.
We are much more tolerant.
It's not disqualifying anymore.
Yeah.
Used to be. Not
anymore. Even for like a real politician?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, unless, you know, everybody, to Tori's point, everybody makes their peace with it. If you like the guy, you forgive him. If you don't, you condemn him.
So yeah.
That's the way it's going to be. And the fact that, you know, evangelical, people who call themselves evangelical Christians can, you know, in this case, because they like Donald Trump, say, well, we forgive him.
Well, they can say it was 12 years ago.
Exactly. You know, and so
it was 12 years ago.
Right. So that it doesn't surprise. That does not surprise me, by the way. That's life. I mean, if you like someone, you support them and you forgive them. If you don't, you condemn them. That's kind of what we do.
I could see her having, you know, she wanted to be on The Apprentice. I could see her,
sure,
becoming somebody on TV, sure, all the time and, sure, making some money.
Yes. And a reality show about the porn business,
yeah,
would be huge.
Somebody did
nothing but numbers.
Somebody did try that. Like, it was
really,
yeah,
HBO.
Yeah, it was an eighth show. I thought it was maybe Showtime, I think, a few years ago.
And it wasn't, you know what, you went, eh.
Yeah. Just because you can't really, you know, you can talk about it. You can't obviously show it.
Yeah, it didn't happen. All right, we'll get out of here. I've exhausted this whole topic, but I tuned in last night.
Twice, that's amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to see it again.
I'm sorry, the second time, did you see or hear something you missed the first time?
It's not so much that I missed, but I had a little bit more time to think about it, and I'd processed it once before, and it comes back to, for me, what does she want?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me she's going to get what she wants, but what is it that it can't just be, I want my name cleared.
Nobody's
attacking
her. And I don't think she thinks her name has been sullied.
No.
Yeah,
no,
good question.
That's what I think. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do an email, and we'll do jingles. That's Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag.
That is submitted by William Bennett, who's the choir director at Cane Bay High School in Somerville, South Carolina. That is gorgeous.
Nice with Easter coming up.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the mailbag, we're thanking David and Tori for sitting in today. This is the first time you've ever written.
Been thanked?
We don't usually do that. Let me thank the sponsors. MeUndies with a great read by Michael and First Leaf Wine. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Kevin in Northeast, while I enjoyed the episode of Eat, Pray, Luke as much as the next guy, I think I'd rather listen to elderly women who don't watch college basketball pick brackets. Wait, you had that too? Man, this podcast is crushing in March. Keep up the work. From Adam Stanley in Madison, Wisconsin, I am hoping you can give me a shout out to one of your littlest Laura Littles, my 12-year-old son, Quinn Stanley, will be here today. They're all here today,
cool. Watching
the podcast. All he wanted for Christmas was a trip to Washington, D.C.
He's
not
geared
to
up.
See the Washington Monument, not to visit the White House, not to go to Air and Space, but to see the podcast in person and have some of Wilbon's chili. After a few months of eager anticipation for the redemption of that Christmas gift, he's finally on spring break from school. And so the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, Liz Holden, and I have brought him from our home in Madison, Wisconsin, to see the show. I wish I could say that what he is most looking forward to is the chance of meeting Mr. Tony, telling Michael about the Wisconsin weather, or even just seeing Nigel reset the board to zero. But in actuality, what he's rooting most for is to hear the voice of Ian Conn as George Washington opening the podcast. Somehow that is his favorite aspect of the entire production. Will we bring along a modest piece of tribute that we've talked about, have we not? From Madison's Roller Derby League, the Mad Rollin' Dolls, where my wife is a skater and I'm an official.
That?
How great is that?
That's fantastic.
Following the latest trend, we're optimistic that this will be sufficient to get the Mad Rollin' Dolls designated as the official Roller Derby League at the Tony Kornheiser Show. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Yes.
From Loyal Little Jeff Martin in Voorheesville, New York, which I assume is in upstate New York, because I'm not familiar with it.
Voorheesville, I'll look that up.
Yeah, it says, can you sign it? I got a toaster. Can you sign? Well, I got to sign a toaster?
A toaster.
Is that what this
toaster
is about? From Eric from Mifflinburg. Excited to hear Baby Bootsy doing so well in his bracket. How did he make his picks? Did he squeeze the finger of the Hofwaff grandpa when he heard the team he wanted? Mm-hmm. From Steve the Sycophant, Dr. Hofwaff, my congratulations to Bootsy on his brilliant bracket. Before the Sweet 16, my entry in the TK Stack Money Show was in ESPN's 96th percentile, and I was brilliant. After I was destroyed in one day, my percentile is 46. With no further hope for me, I root for Bootsy to win so his second favorite grandpa can confiscate all his winnings.
Voorheesville is a village within the town of New Scotland in Albany County, New York.
Okay, that's upstate.
Yes.
Pat from Stoneham, Massachusetts. As I started my wife's car the other day to take my baby daughter on a snooze cruise, I noticed the odometer read 101010. See attached image. As you may know, 101010 is the in binary is the number 42 in real people's numbers, aka decimal. As you may not know, 42 is also the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, according to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's right, Douglas Adams.
What I know from 42 is a Jackie Robinson. That's what I know. In learning this, I did what any moderately cosmically aware man would do. I went out and bought a dozen donut holes and some mediocre coffee and sat in a parking garage while my daughter napped. From John Ash in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It sure was great to see the Loyola Ramblers display the renowned Chicago savvy in their run to the Final Four. I'm certain the two starters from Overland Park, Kansas, let the Kansas State players know all about it. Yeah, the Custer and the kid, is it Dickinson? Or Robinson, whatever his name is? Mm-hmm. The two guards.
Correct.
From Steve Wolfe in Loveland, Ohio, during yesterday's news segment, Nigel spoke of the enterprising man in California trying to prove his flat earth theory by launching himself Wile E. Coyote style on a self-built rocket. Nigel said he sent himself 1,800 feet in the air, to which you said, that's not high enough, that's a building, that's a 25-story building. Now, I know your honorary doctorate isn't in architecture, but a 25-story building would have to be 72 feet per floor. Empire State Building is 100 stories high and it stands 1,250 feet tall. I expect these kind of math failures from Gary, but come on, man. What are we even doing? From Tyler in Orlando, Florida, soon to be from Richmond, Virginia, may I recommend the below tactical baby carrier to help alleviate Michael's shoulder pain? Not only can it assist in carrying baby boy Bootsy, but I assume it can protect him from being run over by a tank or frozen in a block of ice.
It could save my shoulder.
Note, I do not condone or recommend freezing baby boy Bootsy in a block of ice. We need to talk to Tonto Peronto about this. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Thanks, everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Man.
Thank you.
Take you back just yet.